Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're looking at this psalm this evening, and my title is very simple, The Lord is my shepherd, as you can see from the text. But I know our brother's been through this in a little bit more detail quite recently, so I hope some of these things will be a refresher to you as we go through it just in this single study. And I'm sure you will be reminded of some of the things that you learned as we go through it. But this is a very well-known psalm. Every believer seems to be acquainted with it. And it's been a comfort to millions and millions of believers all around the world. Many have drawn comfort from just these six verses, and it's been a source of delight, encouragement, help, strength in difficult times, in times when people are cast down. It seems to be a psalm for life. At any stage in life, we could read this psalm. We need guidance. Here is the Lord to shepherd us. We're feeling unloved, maybe. Here is the Lord, here is the psalm to remind us the Lord cares for us, even if people sometimes let us down. It's a wonderful psalm. We're going through trials or difficulties, even backslidings, as we'll see. Well, this is where we can turn to see what the Lord does for us. So it's often, as we know, sung at this psalm is sung at funerals. But it doesn't necessarily have to be only at funerals. It can be, as I said, for any stage of life. Robert Murray McShane, that eminent minister in Scotland, Dundee, well, yeah, he used to sing this every day, the metrical version of the Psalms. And he was much attached, as you can imagine, to it. This psalm has been instrumental also in conversions. Awakening, certainly. Many people in hospitals, under sick beds, have read this psalm, and it's awakened them to their need, or it has even brought them to the Lord. I know one person who that happened to. She was in hospital, and this psalm is what she read, and this is what brought her to Christ, to conversion. And so, if it doesn't bring us immediately, it certainly encourages people to see what the Lord is really like. And so this is, we can see this psalm is also a very personal psalm. It has 15 personal pronouns in it. I, me, my. A very personal. David is, of course, the writer here. And you see how he has a very personal relationship with his Lord. And, of course, it's the same for us. And yet, when we read the psalm, we're not left thinking about David. We are left thinking about the Lord. It's Him that we have in mind. Because also here there are a number of references, at least, I've counted, at least 12 references to the Lord. And so we're left reflecting more on David's Lord than on David himself. So the focus is on the shepherd. The focus is here in this psalm on the Lord Jesus Christ. And David seems to be saying, oh, as long as I have Him, as long as I have Christ, I want nothing else beside. I'm content to have Him no matter what I go through in life, as long as the Lord is with me, as long as He is my ever-present help, then what need I fear? I need not fear lack. I need not fear change of circumstances. I need not even fear death. I need not fear my enemies if the Lord is near unto me. So let's look at the psalm. Of course, I cannot look at it in any detail, but just very briefly and give you some thoughts. So firstly, the Lord is my shepherd. And we could break up this psalm into two parts, verses 1 to 4. We see that the Lord is represented as our shepherd. And then in verses 5 and 6, we see God represented as our host, as a dinner host. providing for us that all that we need at his table. So verse 1 first, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord Jehovah, the covenant keeping God. He is my shepherd. Of course, David, I'm sure, has in mind here that Christ himself, who was his Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one shepherd and there's one fold, the Lord said, and he is that good shepherd. It's interesting, isn't it, how David is an Old Testament believer, and yet you could almost think that this is like a New Testament person speaking. He knows the Lord so closely, so intimately, so well. And here we see, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Perhaps it's suggested, we don't know exactly when David penned this psalm, but it is suggested that perhaps he did it in his older years, when he was a little bit more mature and seasoned in the faith, when he walked down the path, walked with the Lord for a fair while. Because the way he is talking and the experiences that he has been through, he's got that in mind as he's bringing out these things. He seems like to be a person who has already experienced and proved the Lord in many different experiences of life. And so he can be sure and say in a very sure and confident way, the Lord has helped me in such and such a situation. I went through such and such a situation. I've got that evidence. I've got that experience. I've got the proof of his faithfulness and his love and his care. Of course, every believer can say this. It's not just for the older ones. But perhaps David, when he is a little bit older, who has proved the Lord's faithfulness over many years, he can say it in a more sure and confident way. So, but it is a verse for every believer, wherever we are in our walk with Christ. This verse is full of comfort for the believer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will look after me as a shepherd looks after his sheep. The shepherd cares for each one of his sheep. He doesn't just see one big flock, he sees individual sheep. You know how in the old times, or in the times of Palestine at that time, how they used to call the sheep by their names, and the sheep would respond to their individual names. And the Lord knows each one of us by name. Yes, we all belong to him. Yes, we are all part of that one flock, but we are also individuals who receive his personal care and his personal attention. The shepherd protects the flock from the wild beasts, from the lions and the bears that may seek to devour the fold. The shepherd guides the sheep and takes them, leads them into pastures where they can feed and be nourished by the food that they eat. If the sheep wander off, as they are prone to do, then the shepherd will bring them back into the fold. He knows us, he cares for us. And David seems to say, well, as long as the Lord is my shepherd, then I'm content, then I'm at rest, I shall never lack anything. I'm not spared life's troubles, I'm not spared life's agitations and difficulties as a believer. I still maybe have to go through that. I still have to face disappointments in this fallen world. We're not excluded from these things. My friends may let me down. I may have to face criticism from other people. I may have to endure personal failure in my life. But even if I have to go through all these things, or a terrible illness, or some difficult predicament in life, as long as the Lord is with me, I am content. I can face these things because I'm not looking to myself, I'm looking to him. He has the power, he has the grace, he has the help that I need, and he will provide all that I need. Everything that I need, I can find in him. If I need comfort, he will give me comfort. If I need guidance, he will show me the way to go. If I need a provision, I can ask him for it, and he will give it to me. If I need inner strength, grace, he will grant that to me so willingly, so heartily. As the hymn writer said, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. Oh friends, if the Lord is our shepherd, if they say the Lord is my shepherd, then we are his sheep. And if we are his sheep, that means we must follow him. As you know, again in Palestine in those times, the sheep used to follow the shepherd. Here in the UK, it's the other way around. But then the sheep used to come after the shepherd, go after him. And it's a reminder to us, the Lord is my shepherd, then I must also follow him. I must not go before him. I must let him lead me and guide me in the way that I should go. I'm not free to make my own decisions. I shouldn't wander off in my own self-will and ways, but ever seek his guidance and ask him to make the path clear for me. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then look at where he leads us to. Firstly, we can say he leads us, Christ as our shepherd, leads us to rest. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. In Christ we find a rest for our souls. Even though our bodies may be tired, in Christ we have found rest for our souls. We remember the time when we were without Christ and when we were troubled and agitated by sin and guilt, and we found no rest for our souls. We were wandering, as it were, back and forth, looking for rest. But it was only when we came to Christ and we heard the gospel and we heard the good news of how Christ had made an atonement for our sins, and we believed on him, and then we found rest to our souls in him. He granted us these things. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He feeds us with his word. He leads us into the truths of the word, and we find rest in the doctrines and the promises and the narratives even of scripture. And so often when we've been troubled, maybe we've opened the scriptures and we found a rest in it. Or we see this world sometimes and we're troubled by the things which are happening around us, the social structures, the things that we're so used to in life being broken down and seeming to be erased. What shall we do? Shall we panic? No, we open the scriptures and we see that doctrine, that wonderful doctrine that God is sovereign over all things, and that he is working out his plans, his decrees. Everything is under his control. Sometimes maybe believers are troubled. Oh, I may lose my salvation. I may lose faith in Christ. What will happen to me? But then they open the scriptures and they see that comforting word that those who have trusted in Christ, well, he'll never cast them away. Those who have come to Christ are his and his forever. And so many more we could talk about. Election, oh, people are not being saved. So few are being saved. And it's true, and we desire more people to come to know the Lord. But then we look at election and remember that all those who are Christ will come to him, will be saved. And so we draw much comfort and rest in these green pastures of God's word. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the waters of peace with God and friendship with God. Instead of being his enemies, now we are his friends. He restoreth my soul. The thought here is that Christ reinvigorates the soul. The soul is somewhat weary. The soul is somewhat at times exhausted and worn down. And Christ as the good shepherd, reinvigorates the soul and revives that worn down, weary soul. And there are times, isn't it, when the believer, he may feel weary in well-doing. He may be tired, even in doing good. Maybe he has been sowing the seed for many a year and seen a little fruit and laboring year after year with little to show for it. And he may think, well, what's the use? We just pack it all in and give up. And let's revert back to our own ordinary lives. Why are we doing things? Why are we reaching out? But then the Lord revives that person. And it comes a time when his faith is revived again. At times, in that period maybe he goes through, doesn't last forever. And the Lord gives him a word of faith, or strengthens him through a message that he has heard, and his faith is revived again, and he feels up again and quickened again by the Spirit to get going again and to know that his labor is not in vain for the Lord. He's restored, the Lord has restored his soul. Sometimes believers are physically exhausted, like the disciples were after their many endeavors and ministry, and the Lord does sometimes take them apart, come apart, and rest a while. Sometimes physical rest also is good for the soul. But of course we also have here the idea of restoring a backslidden soul, a soul that has gone away from the Lord, a soul that has gotten a believer who shouldn't, but has gotten more attached to the world and has left off maybe attending the Lord's house, or sporadically attains the Lord's house, whose love for Christ has cooled, and whose prayer life and reading of the Word and a fellowship even is now taken for granted, and the believer now can take it or leave it. He is backslidden from the Lord, and the Lord intervenes. If we are His children, He will intervene to bring us back again, to make us see, He'll make our way hard, He'll make it difficult for us when we're in the world, so that we may be restored, realize our sin, and return to Him, and ask for forgiveness again. And He restores us, and quickens us, and reconverts us even again. But it's so in this way the Lord leads us. But then He also leads us not only to rest, but to sanctification. Look at the second part of verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord leads us into paths of holiness, into paths of a righteous living, into improving us as His people, making us better men, making us better women, holy people. He improves us. He seeks to increase our humility and our love, the gentleness and kindness that we ought to have as His people, and all the other graces that should be in us. This is what the Lord leads us to. This is what He is concerned for us, that we may grow in holiness. He desires us to follow after holiness and peace with all men. For His name's sake. It's for His glory. Everything we do is for His glory. Even our increase in holiness, even our pursuing sanctification, we do it for His glory. And it glorifies Him when we are like Christ. The more we are like Christ, how glorifying that is to God and to our Savior. Well, it also, I think, I'm quite sure this verse also includes working for Christ. He leads us into a path where we are serving Christ, seeking to bring glory to His name. Picture doesn't quite fit in, I think, with our life here, because sheep like to lie down and graze in the pastures, and they're happy to do that all day, every single day of their lives, it seems, their animal lives. But we're not like that, are we? I think most of us, anyway, like to work. We like to be busy. We like to be about things. That would be a terrible thing for us if we had to just lie down and do nothing. for the rest of our life. We will think that would be a pain and a burden to us. But for sheep, of course, it's not a problem. That's what they usually do. But the Lord leads us into paths of service. So when He gives us rest, it's not to rest the whole time and just enjoy that rest and keep it for ourselves. We have to use the rest and the strength and the power we get from our faith in Christ to do something for Him, to reach out to souls, to help other people, other believers, and also unbelievers. It's all part of our walking with Christ. And then thirdly, He leads us into trials. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is not referring solely to death. When a believer reaches that final stage of their earthly life, it does, of course, refer to that, include that. But it's not only that, it's the shadow of death. This could refer to death, or it could refer to also spiritual darkness, or a dark and gloomy place. And sometimes the Lord Himself leads us as His people into dark and gloomy places. We don't want that. We would never choose that ourselves, but He chooses it for us. He knows what's best for us, and He does it with a reason, with a purpose, that He leads us into these sometimes fearful places as well, depressing places, gloomy places. It's part of our sanctification. It's part of our pruning as well, when He allows us to go through deep trials. Our faith is tried in adversity. Our faith isn't tried really when everything is going well for us and things are good for us and the sun is shining, but it's when we cannot see the sun, or we haven't seen the sun for many days. And then how do we respond? Through trials, through adversities, or we are brought to see what is really in us. We are brought to see the strength of our faith. Yes, we have faith, but how strong is it? You see yourself being kept by the Lord in a difficult time, in a dark time that you're going through. Well, God is good to you. You can see that the Lord is helping you. That's an encouragement to you. You can see that you're not going under. You know that's an encouragement also to you. And then, of course, in those difficult times of sadness, or I don't know, different things that we could go through, we could mention. Even some believers go through great periods of depression. But we get to know the Lord better through those times. The Lord seems to draw nearer to us in those times and to encourage us. And we discover more about Him. We find out more about His faithfulness and His love for us than we do sometimes when the sun is shining. So remember this, friends, that the Lord Himself leads us through those times. And David says, I will fear no evil. Why, David? Why won't you fear any evil? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In our trials, in our difficulties, we are never left alone. Christ is there with us, and He will comfort us and uphold us right through the trial. He will bring us out the other side. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was used by the shepherd to fend off, as a weapon, to fend off those wild beasts, those lions or those bears that may attack the sheep. And so when the sheep see, in a sense, the rod, they find some comfort in that. Or when they see the staff in the shepherd's hands, they find comfort in that too. The staff was like a rod with a crook. You see it, the bishops today, they often carry, in the Church of England, they carry that kind of a crook on the end. And the shepherd used to use it, well, maybe to draw the sheep to himself, or to guide the sheep, or even sometimes as he's walking alongside, just to tap the sheep, let the sheep know that he is there, as it were. And that's an encouragement for the believer. David says, when I see even the rod and the staff, the way in which you protect and guide me, and even reassure me in those times of darkness of your presence, that's a comfort to me and an encouragement to me. And then, just finally and just briefly, the last two verses, we see how the Lord is not only a shepherd who leads his people, but he's also a host who provides wonderfully for his people. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And David, as you know, had many enemies. He had many who sought his life. He was often on the run. He often had to dwell in dens and caves of the earth. And yet, in spite of all this, in spite of all the enemies trying to get rid of him, yet still God provided for him. Wherever he was, he never lacked anything. He had a sufficient granted to him. It was a sign of God's favor that even there, in those deserted places, even on the run, the Lord was providing in a wonderful way for him. And God sustained him, and God provided for David. And it's the same for us. We see how the Lord provides for us. It's an assurance that God will provide wonderfully for us the things that we need. We can think even of the church. Well, the church has many enemies, and many who are trying to get rid of her. Many who are trying to thwart what she is doing and to extinguish her flame. But that flame will never be put out, because God will provide for her. God will favor her. If God be for us as a church, then what can our enemies do for us? He will supply us with the things that we need. So friends, life is a conflict for the believers. But remember, if we are the Lord's, then we have that assurance that he will provide for us the things that are necessary. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, blessing upon blessing. The cup not only full, but running over, and spilling over, as it were, so much. The Lord not only provides our needs, but he provides even more than we need. He has given us not just one blessing, but many blessings. All spiritual blessings in Christ are given to us. And we count also the temporal blessings in life, the good things that we enjoy, our minds, our work, our time, our health, our families, the earthly things that we appreciate even, our children, our grandchildren, all these things we can count under his blessings, as well as the spiritual blessings. And each one of us here can surely say, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David has so proved the Lord in life, so had so many experiences of the Lord's faithfulness and care and love for him, that he says, surely, he's assured, going into the future, going into the rest of the days of his life, however long that will be, goodness, the Lord's goodness will surround me, and his mercy will uphold me. If I fall, he will be merciful to me. He will forgive me. He will never cast me off. I will always be his in this life. And what about after death? What about the future? What about when I die? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. An assurance that when I leave this world, well, I shall dwell in that home. I shall be received by the same shepherd into his home and into those spiritual feasts that are prepared, those spiritual joys and which are prepared for each one of his people. And I will dwell in that house of his, as one of his, as a child who dwells so comfortably in their house. God's children will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. So, dear friends, this is our message, a very short, brief, devotional message for us, and to remind us of all that we have in Christ. We have salvation, and we have everything that we need. Wherever you are in life, whatever situation you're facing, turn to Him. Ask Him for help. Depend upon Him. Trust in Him. Tell Him that you trust in Him, and seek His blessing and His aid. Prove Him.